Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we have begun a new year. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that 2013 was a trying year for us. And I'm just so glad that the Lord has allowed us to see another year. And I'm so excited about the program and the many testimonies that the Lord is going to allow us to hear this year and gain strength from this year, encouragement, inspiration. And I'm just happy. How are you today, honey?
Good morning, good morning. And I, too, am just happy that we've crossed over and just looking forward to the great things that are going to be in 2014. Not that 2013 wasn't a good year, because God brought us through. So we certainly, as we look back, we have testimonies of God's grace and goodness that kept us. He kept our minds, but just looking forward now into great things that 2014 is going to bring for us. I'm remembering being at one of the services down at Bethel Family Worship Center where Bishop Bloomer is the pastor, and he spoke about leaping over into 2014, and I didn't catch all of the notes and what have you or recall where they are, but I just know that the memory of that or just hearing that caught my spirit, and my spirit caught that as we leap into 2014, that we are just jumping into the new mercies, the new blessings, the new horizons, and all the newness that God has for us. So I'm just excited about that.
Amen, amen. Well, we have a guest that is not a stranger to us, Elder Kermit DeLashman. He is one of the sons of the ministry that we were fellowshipping with, our home church, my home church in Chicago, the Apostolic Pentecostal Church of Morgan Park. And this young man has a testimony that will inspire us and that will take us to another level in God, to let us know just how faithful God is to us. And honey, but before we bring him on, and I see that he's already on the call, before we bring him on, would you open us up with prayer?
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you. Your name is awesome, your name is power. Your name, in your name, Lord God, all that we need and all that we desire, we know that we have access through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right now, we just look to you, Lord. We look to you as our source. We look to you as our strength. We look to you as our provider. We look to you as our all in all. There is nothing too hard for you. And Lord, we just thank you for these moments that we are about to spend together with your people, sharing, hallelujah, the testimonies, letting the world know that there is no thing too hard for you. Whatever we need, whether it be healing, whether it be finances, whether it be deliverance, whether it be miracles, whether it be peace of mind, deliverance in job situations, mending of homes and marriages, just keeping our mind. Father, there is nothing that you can't do, and we look to you right now, thanking you for every testimony that goes forth, even the request for prayer that will come in, because we know that whatever we ask as we touch and agree, as we gather two or three of us or more in your name, that it shall be done. And we just thank you for this time. Lord God, let this program be anointed today for your purpose, and that is to reach the world, letting them know that there is hope, and that hope is in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, unctionize every word, Lord God, unctionize, Lord God, and anoint and pack with power every word that goes out, that it will be felt across this world. And Lord God, let these testimonies, even though they may not hear that through the broadcast, but even let the word of mouth spread throughout the nation, throughout the world, of your goodness because of what happens in these next few moments today. Oh, Father, we just pray and thank you for this ministry and our overall ministry. Bless our overall ministry leader, Evangelist Bernard, Lord God, and we just pray for even our guest today that you will just continue to anoint and bless and just grow him, Lord God, in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, we just proclaim and declare all these things are done in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you, honey. I'm going to bring Elder Kermit on now because he has another engagement that he has to attend. So I'm going to open up his line. Are you there, Kermit?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. I am awesome. Just grateful, probably more thankful and excited about life than I ever have been in my life.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, as I was introducing you to our radio guests, listeners, and I was saying that I was just thinking this morning. I woke up earlier this morning, and I was thinking, praying and thinking about how young you guys were when Mark and I came to the church, and you know how I've seen you grow up in the church and just been an awesome man of God, and not without trouble, but you know we all have our, as we talked the other day, we all have our issues, and you know, but just to see you the way that you have blossomed. And I was thinking, Kermit, I'm sure you remember this, but the time that you had asked me to speak, and I was so reluctant to do it. But you encouraged me. You encouraged me.
That's right.
And I was able to go on and do it, and, you know, I just love you. I just love you. I love you and, you know, your family and his mom actually kept one of our sons when he was a baby, and she's the one that told me to give him cod liver oil, was it castor oil?
Yeah, my mom was truly an anointed practitioner, I would say.
Yes, you were.
You know, it's amazing that you mentioned her. She Sister Kim Van, I don't know if I can use names or on this or not, but I had posted a picture of my mom on Facebook, and it was amazing to see how many people now that have moved to other parts of the country, and in some cases even different parts of the world now, who saw her picture and just was, oh, my God, just brought back memories of the wisdom that my mom shared. My mom was not a very educated woman, but she was very wise. And I just honestly believe that was through her devotion and commitment to God and the Word of God and just becoming, you know, and just being a person who was open to hear and understand what people really wanted and needed in life. And she was able, in her own way, And she had a very unique way of presenting information as well as wisdom. And it's amazing that Sister Kim Van told me, she said, I just taught my daughter how to take care of my granddaughter based off of what your mom taught me. To see that my mom has been now gone over 20 years and to
wow.
still see the impact of her life still affecting generations lets you know that the hand of God was on her life.
Oh, yeah.
And that is amazing to me. I'm just hoping that maybe I can reach to the next generation with my life. And, but to watch her transcend generations and how people still talk about her is just amazing to me. And I'm gonna tell you what's really, really amazing is my little brother Matthew. He was only a year old. As a matter of fact, he had just made a year old when my mom passed. So he never really knew her, you know.
Right.
Because the only mom he knew was my sister.
Right.
Evangelist Deborah DeLashman. And and whenever we have conversations about mom, he just kind of sits in the room and listens so that he could try to glean any kind of understanding of about who he is, coming from somebody who is still being talked about. Here it is now, 20-something years later. Just watching him just kind of listen in, you know, to how we talk about mom is really amazing. So, yeah, it is a blessing to know that you can be a part of such a great legacy. You had talked earlier even about me growing up in church and who I am today. And just thinking about that, you know, well, growing up in my house, we didn't really have a choice. A lot of the kids have a choice today.
Yes, they do.
But my mom said this to me, and Evangelist Billy, this really stuck with me. She said, I'll never forget, I was coming into my preteen, teenage years, and I said, Mom, why do I have to go to church? And first of all, you know, I got corrected for even asking her something like that. You don't ask me questions like that, you know. But then she went in to explain that, she said, Kermit, if the government won't allow you at 18, you know, before 18 years old to make decisions for your life, and that's just to live down here, why would I leave it up to you to where you're going to spend eternal life? You know, why would I leave that decision up to you and they don't even trust you to make decisions for your life down here on the planet?
Uh-huh.
Very profound. Very profound statement that really think about what she was saying. And I really believe through those kinds of conversations, those inquisitive questions that I had, I could sit down and talk to my mom about everything. We talked about eternal security. We talked about everything. Because being a young musician growing up in churches, I got an opportunity to play for different denominations of churches and got a chance to hear their doctrinal, their doctrinal thesis or premise of what they base their organizations on. And so I would bring that back to conversations with my mom, and we would have wonderful conversations about the Bible. And so, therefore, growing and maturing in a Christian home with that background helped to kind of fortify. And then even me with being inquisitive as I was made me a student very early, very early. And so I guess over the years, that truth that I've been exposed to and believed in and held and governed my life by has been challenged along the way. And I guess that's part of the testimony that I wanted to leave today. And even when my mom left here, I had questions. I was still really kind of coming into, I was in my 20s, I believe, and I was kind of still coming into my growth and maturity. And when my mom passed away at the young age of 46 years old, I questioned God about that. Why didn't you heal her? And then, you know, and then, fine, let her, fine, if you really needed to take her, take her. But heal her first because that was her request. You know, I had a problem with how that all transpired. And then later on, 20-something years later, to have my son sitting in the back seat of a car, you know, and two guys walk up on the car, try to rob the driver. And when the driver decided that he didn't want to be robbed and probably made a move to just, you know, put the car in gear and drive off, the guys just opened fire on the car and ended up shooting three of the people that was in the car. But my son was the only fatality. Question that. What in the world is going on? Question God on all of that. And I really believe that it is those moments that really helped us to define who God is. Most of our lives, especially if you've grown up in church, you get a chance to hear the moms and the dads and the pastors and the leaders talk about who God is. And you incorporate the parts of those relationships into what your own life based off of what you kind of can see and what you can kind of comprehend. But in order to really know who God is to you, you've got to deal with God one-on-one yourself. And life has a wonderful way of presenting us with some challenging and difficult moments. Something that we've never seen before, unprecedented, something that there's no way in the world I could try to even wrap my mind around how this could even happen to me or my family and try to make sense out of it, you know. And so it was there that, and just to tell the testimony, my son was 6'5". He was very charismatic. He was a true leader. He was very, very, very gifted in relationships to sports. He played football, basketball, anything he pretty much wanted to do, he could do well. And he really had ambitions of playing basketball professionally. And he didn't take care of his grades the way he should have coming out of high school. So he ended up going to the junior colleges. On the year that everything happened, a friend of his and him decided that his friend decided, look, Kermit, you play ball way too well. I want you to go to this NBA camp down in St. Louis. They called me. I was at work. They said, Dad, I'm on my way to St. Louis with my friend, and he's paying for me the admission fee to get in to do this NBA camp. He said, I just need spending money. They met me on the expressway because I was at work so that they could go and be on time at this camp. I gave them some cash, and I'm like, okay, first of all, be safe, you know, and let me know how it goes once you get down there. He said, okay. They got back after a couple of days. They got back, and Kermit told me, I said, well, son, how was it? He said, Dad, it was really interesting. I said, okay. He said, man. He said, I got down there, and I was just running the skills with all the other players that were there. He said, then afterwards, all of the scouts, all of the agents, all of the coaches that were there came over to me and like, okay, who are you and where have you been? And he was like, what do you mean? He said, your skill test is off the charts. He said, man, you're ready. You're ready to play, you know, on a professional level. And it was just amazing. They said, well, what are your ambitions? And now he had one more class before he could actually move from junior college onto the university level. He had to pass one class. He didn't want to go to school. He was very discouraged about schools. And so I said, you know, so what he tells the coaches and the agents, he says, hey, well, my dad wants me to finish this class and, you know, and have the opportunity to play on the university level, Division I level. And they say, well, listen, you know, you've got basically one more year of eligibility. You can do that, he says, but we just want to let you know you can apply for the draft. With this skill set, you can apply for the draft. Now, agents walked up after that and said, listen, we can get you overseas tryouts right now. So Kirby came back, and there was a conversation we had. I said, well, son, I really want you to at least finish this part of your college career. I said, how you proceed after this is on you. So he came up with every excuse in the world why, Dad, I don't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. And I, so he eventually just agreed to finish. He did really well in the class. 2 weeks before two weeks before the tragedy, he was going to school. I was dropping him off so that he could turn in his final. And I said, hey, you need me to come back and pick you up? He said no. And he turned back around and said, let the window down, Dad. He said, I just want to tell you, man, thank you for really encouraging me to do this. And I said, son, I just wanted you to have options. I just wanted you to be able to make have choices for your life. I watched this young man in those few months turn from a guy who wasn't sure about where he was going and what he wanted to do with great possibilities in front of him. He was really kind of coming into his own. Just really kind of took a turn for what was in front of him, the blessing that was in front of him. And we just felt like he was really on his way because right after the holidays, he was on his way to an overseas tryout, one of the agents had set up for him. So it was everything was all kind of coming into that. And then 3 days before Christmas, this tragedy happened. And it put me in a place where I did not know what to do. Been in church my whole life. Heard some of the greatest messages ever preached. But that morning, I saw my son. He was washing dishes in the house. Asked him what he was doing, and he told me what he does, what he was going to do, which is the same thing he did all the time. Well, Dad, I'm going to play ball with some guys later. Okay. And then be hit with the tragedy of this whole ordeal. I didn't know what to do. My son lived with me. At the time, I was a single-parent dad. My son and my daughter lived with me. And they were my life at the time. And to have that happen just rocked my world. Now, initially, the first few weeks, you know, you're so caught up in the shock of it all, you don't even believe it's real. It's very surreal. But then after that, I went through depression like you couldn't imagine and grief like you could not imagine. During that time, people called. During that time, people tried to help me. People, man, I'm still praying. Man, God's going to do. Everybody had a wonderful thing to say, but nothing could reach where I was. I was losing my mind. I felt like I was losing my life. I didn't care about preaching no more. I didn't care about ministering no more. And it was amazing. I was talking to Marvin Sapp, Pastor Marvin Sapp, when he went through his ordeal with his wife, the loss of his wife. And he said the same thing. He said, man, I didn't want to sing no more. He said, I was ready to opt out of my contract of singing. And as soon as he said this to me, we just connected. I said, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. To have grown and even encouraged others, you know, and not be able at this point to be able to really find what you needed for yourself was amazing. It was catastrophic. I was going down. I started tearing up every relationship that was significant. I didn't want to be around anybody. I became completely introverted. And Evangelist Billy, you know me. You know I'm nowhere near introverted as a person.
Right, right.
And it was just a spiral down. And it was amazing that after a few months of that, I had people who tried their best to reach out to me to help me through that. And I was really just kind of numb and just going through the motions. And then all of a sudden, something came to me. The word came to me. A word that was spoken to me on the night that everything happened. One of the first ladies, who's now 89 years old now, called her son, who's the pastor of the church that I was the minister music at, and she said, "Let me talk to him." She said, "Hey, son, how you doing?" I said, "I don't know, Mom. We still trying. I'm believing God that everything worked out," because he was in surgery at the time. And she said, "Okay." He said, "Well, baby, we praying." And then she said, "Just remember, all things work together. Not some things. All things work together for the good to them that love God and those who are called according to his purpose." And, of course, here's another scripture being quoted. Okay. But some words came back so hard and so heavy, and it just kind of made me find a power that was in me that let me know. And it also coupled with Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And right after that began to resonate in my spirit, all of a sudden something said to me, "You've been looking for your answer to come outside of you. You've been waiting for somebody to say something encouraging. You've been waiting for somebody to, you know, to speak a word or pray a prayer that would rescue you from where you were. And none of that worked. None of that worked. And it was what was in me already that fortified me and gave me the launching pad to take off again about rebuilding my life and overcoming this crazy place that I was in. And along with the Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, I heard these words that said, "Permit, you've always had your answer. You always had it." And when I started to embrace the fact that I always had the answer, I always had the strength, I always had what I needed to overcome even this, that's what I'm telling you, Evangelist Billy, that began to like burst like a sun inside of me. And every relationship, it was really amazing. All of a sudden, my disposition on life changed. And everything and everybody I had ran away automatically just started to gravitate back to me. It was amazing how even opportunities started opening up. The moment that I came into acceptance and embraced that word in my life, it began to fortify who I really was. And like I was saying earlier, it showed me who God was to me, not through the lens of another preacher who's telling me about him, or maybe a mom or pop in the church who was praying for me or whatever. I had to deal with God one-on-one, and it was that word that spoke faith enough in me for me to get up. I've often even preached this and said, faith comes by hearing. Mm-hmm. Hearing comes by the word of God. And I've often said that, understand this, the word hearing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, it talks about more so rhema than logos. Okay? So it's not the word that you read or the word that somebody speaks. It's the one that's illuminated and made tailor-made just for you that produces faith. Enough for you to get up and act, because faith without works is dead. So when I began to understand that this word was the launching, was the word of faith I needed to begin to launch from and then to reclaim my life and recover my life, it began the wonderful place that I'm in right now. We just celebrated, well, it's not so much a celebration. We just revisited the fact that it's been 5 years this past holiday, you know, since my son's death. And to see where I am now, and I can't say it still isn't hard coming into this holiday season. It is. But what the wonderful opportunity I've had more recently, Evangelist Burns, is that, you know, ministering to other people who are losing loved ones right now. And here's what's the biggest blessing: watching my children run to the rescue of their friends who are losing loved ones right now. I don't know if you know Elder Robert James at Morgan Park.
You know I know Robert.
Okay, he just passed away.
Yes, I saw that.
And what was amazing was, you know, Kyle was in the car. My son Kyle was in the car. He said, "I'm ready to call DeJuan. Dad, you mind if I use the car to, you know, to go see him?" And I said, "Of course not." But they know, having have been through their ordeal with this, they know that it's not so much what you say right now. It's just the showing people that you can be there.
Yeah.
You know, your presence right now is important. I was listening in the conversation. He was sitting in the car with me, and he said, "Man, where are you at?" "I'm at the house." He said, "Well, I'm on my way over." "Nah, man, you don't have to come over." "Yes, I do. I need to see you myself." Just to know how to do that was amazing to me. That sometimes you do have to kind of force your way into some people, because realistically, you really don't know what you need until
right.
you get there. And then to have somebody walk in the door and you know, embrace you. You didn't even know you needed that hug until you got that hug, you know, or just needed that person to come and just sit with you. Sometimes it ain't what you say. It's just about the fact that you sat. I was just at Sister Barbara Peoples' service the other day. But
yes.
Just being there, watching how this family on Christmas Eve lost this 41-year-old beautiful young lady. Whose body just deteriorated to nothing. Mike called me and said, "Kerm, hey, man, I'm in town." I said, "Oh, man, you coming in town for the holiday?" He said, "Kinda." He said, "But, you know, Barbara, you know, they just called me, man, and told me that Barbara's not well." And I said, "What?" And he started telling me what was going on. As soon as I got off work, I ran to the hospital to see her myself. She was slipping into a coma then. You know, just to feel for myself. And then after that, after I was leaving the hospital, I called Mike to let him know I was leaving. He said, "We're going back down there a little bit later on." And he said, "My mom wants to speak to you." And I was talking to Sister Peoples. And as we were talking, I said, "Mom, I don't know what you guys have planned for Christmas. I said, I don't want you to have to worry about it. I'm opening up my house to you and your family. I want you guys to come and be with us, and let us love you, and let you love us through this, through what you guys are dealing with." And she said, "Brother Kermit," she said, "Brother Kermit, if Barbara's still, you know, if Barbara's still here, then I'm going to be at the hospital." And then just a few hours later, I got a call, well, text at about 2 a.m. that she had, you know, passed away. I called Deb, my sister, and my wife, and said, "Baby, I need you." I said, "We get ready to host another family for you know, Christmas holiday. And they was like, no problem. We had, Billy, we had so many people here. But it was the best time to watch them smile through tears, because they were still tears. This was still fresh.
Yeah.
This was very fresh. To watch them smile, laugh, enjoy, talk about Barbara, and made the decision to celebrate her life, you know. Oh, my God, it was just amazing to watch them go through that, and for us to be in a position to help them. And Evangelist People even told us, she said, Elder Carmen, I just want to let you know, thank you for doing this. I said, what are you talking about? My other mom, who's my mom's best friend, Sister Irene Wade, and her husband Frank, I said, that's what they did for us 5 years ago. They opened their doors and said, no, you guys come over and you all spend Christmas with us. And we didn't have to cook. We didn't have to do anything. And just to have somebody minister to you. And like I'm saying, you don't even know that what you needed. But to just have people open themselves up and love you through some of the most difficult pains of your life is amazing. So I would say, Evangelist Billy, that, man, we are, what I have learned in the last year, more than anything else along my spiritual journey, is that hearing what other people have to say about God is fine, but really discovering who he is to you personally will be the very pivotal moments in your life that really take you into deeper levels of spirituality than you've ever known. It will enlighten your consciousness. It will automatically illuminate your purpose. Why are you here? You can't get that from anybody else. You can only get that from your conversations and your dealings and your communication and your communion with God himself. It took some of the most difficult situations in my life for me to get to this point. But now I am seeing wonderful opportunities open up. I've had conversations with bishops and apostles that a lot of people couldn't even get audience with from all over this country. And we're sitting down and we're having wonderful conversations about, you know, the evolving Christianity and all of the different things that's going on. And all of this, it's amazing that these very prolific, profound, accomplished gentlemen, even some ladies, really want to hear what I got to say. And that was amazing to me. And it's almost like the same position my mom had, same position my mom had, the same role she played in a lot of people's lives. My mom, oh, my God, just, you know, didn't have all of this and all the credentials and all that, but it was her wisdom, her place, her anointing, who she was in God, the people just wanted to hear. I'll never forget Bishop Noel Jones called her while she was on her deathbed, basically. And it was amazing to see, just to watch that whole ordeal. He called her because I think at the time he was recovering from a heart attack or something like that himself. And he called me and he said, Mom, he said, listen, I'm calling because I heard. And he said, I just called to pray with you. And as he prayed, before the prayer was over, she began to pray for him. And I was standing next to her holding the phone. And all of a sudden, if you had heard the words of that prayer, you automatically, because while she was praying, the entire atmosphere in the room changed. And it wasn't a whole lot that she said. She said little things like, she said, God, he still has work to do. And I need for you to strengthen him again, as you did Samson. She would fade out a little bit and come back and say some more. And I'm telling you, every time she talked to God on behalf of this man, When I picked the phone back up, when she was done, she handed me the phone. She said, I'm done. He was speaking in tongues all over the place. He didn't even know she was off the phone. And I just waited till he was finished, and he was like, oh, my God. He said, and I said, Bishop, I said, Mom is kind of resting right now. And he said, man, I called to minister to her. He said, but what she just did for me, he said, he was just tore up. You know, so it was just amazing, you know, to even be around that. And now getting the opportunity to impact other people's lives and have people call me, have a pastor out in Seattle having a big leadership summit in February, he said, Brother Kermit, I need you to come, you and your wife, just to come and be a part of this. And I just met this guy a couple months ago. He wasn't in our familiar circle of preachers and anything like that, but just to know that opportunities are opening because you've taken the journey to find God on your own and help him and allow him to define who he really is to you. And to use your fundamentalist Christian background to be the launching ground into everything else that he has for you. It is amazing to me, and this really bothers me about church right now. And I hope I can say this. This is the thing that kind of bothers me right now, and that is that a lot of preachers, we spend too much time talking about the unworthiness of the believer, which is the more religious approach to Christianity or to faith. And you know, we like to talk about, you hear it all the time, that we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, in sin did your mother conceive you, and you know, and then we talk about all of the things that's wrong. We have the law, and we talk about how unworthy the Christian is. But then the Bible says in Romans, especially once it deals with the conflict in Romans 7 and moves into Romans 8, the first thing he says is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Then it goes on to say stuff like, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. That, you know, you really can do all things. And then the one of my favorite ones is, thanks be unto God who has given us the victory. We are already in the position of no condemnation. And we don't need to be reminded of who we're not anymore. And the only reason why a person would even do that is because they're trying to justify their position in a person's life, to keep you unworthy so that they can keep trying to help you, keep trying to save you, and keep trying to deliver you. I really believe that in this next move, you're going to see a change in the entire church world where, and matter of fact, you're already seeing it. You're already seeing it, where it's something about a person's soul that will say, I am not going to buy into that anymore. I'm free from that. Yeah. I'm free from that. And I really am more than a conqueror. I really am. I really had what it took. I really can do all things through Christ. And to accept anybody's dogma about how unworthy I am. I'm not talking about putting myself in a position where I really feel like I'm worthy, but based on the fact that I am embracing what he has given me through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that the Christ consciousness is a part of who I am, and that I can take that and launch out into the deep and experience things, as he said, eyes haven't seen, and neither have ears heard, all the wonderful things that's right in front of us, that forgetting the things which are behind, all of that stuff that I used to be, forgetting all of that and pressing on to the higher calling That's where we are to live. And I really believe any ministry that is focusing on that, you will watch people gravitate towards those levels of ministry. And any of that other traditional dogma, religious, you know, trying to keep people victimized and imprisoned. And I'm not just talking about Christianity. I'm talking about Islam. I'm talking about even the other religions that do it. You know, people are coming to a place now where they just want, they understand what real peace is because something about their existence is saying, I want that. I'm tired of going to bed trying to figure it out. I need to be at peace. Relationships that are just not fulfilling anymore, they unfortunately, they're walking away from them because I have to find peace. And here's the thing. It is a soul that is reconnecting itself to God, that is finding its way back to God. And like I was saying before, all the external voices that I had been hearing were saying wonderful things, but it wasn't saying the right thing to rescue where I really was. And I really feel like right now we are at a very wonderful opportunity, a wonderful stage in the evolution of our spirituality, even in our own country, to where people are coming into knowledge, Evangelist Burns, about who God really is to them. They are taking their religious backgrounds and their fundamentalist Christian backgrounds, and they're saying, okay, that's what that was. And even Hebrews tells us to do that. Hebrews 6 says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine.
Yes.
In order to move on to perfection, and in that case, maturity, you've got to leave the baptisms and the laying on of hands and all those wonderful things and that it talks about. And it says, and we'll go back and revisit that if we need to, you know. But the fact of the matter is you've got to leave that and come into your own personal relationship and then launch out. And then here's the thing, and start to listen to yourself. Start listening to yourself. I was ministering to a young lady this week, and all of this is based on the fact that the journey of my life, the difficulty of my life, has put me in a position to minister to people outside of the pulpit. Young lady destroyed due to some relationships, and I was just talking to her about the scripture that says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I said, honey, don't you realize that in order to understand the scripture, you got to read it backwards? You know, love yourself and then love people based on how you love you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, she said, wow. I said, see, the reality is most folk feel like they really love themselves, and they don't. You can tell how they eat. How they handle themselves.
Uh-oh, you're getting ready to get in trouble now, aren't you?
But think about it. You got people that care more about what they put in their car.
Oh, yes.
Than what they put in their body. I said, well, that's what I'm talking about. And that's just one aspect. Food, who we allow in our circle. Any lower level energy person, you know, I just don't have the time, energy, and effort for you. I'll help you if you want to come out, but if you want to kind of grow some, I'll be there to assist in whatever way I can. But I can't make you part of my circle, because of where you are. It's not that I'm judging you. It's about the fact that what you resonate is not on the same frequency with me. It's that whole concept of being unequally yoked, which I really do believe is a lot deeper than what we said it has been traditionally.
That's just been for the marriage. That's just for the marriage. It's not been in relationship.
Right, but I'm talking to this young lady. Tears are bursting out of her eyes. I said, "Honey," I said, "remember this. You never do more for somebody else than you do for you." I said, I don't care who it is. And she just looked at me. I said, yeah. I said, there is not, one of the greatest feelings in the world is reciprocation, that I've done for you, and now then you do back for me. I said, that is one of the most powerful things in the world to have. But now what happens when you give and you give and you give and they don't reciprocate? Now let's just say you give and you give and you give from places of sacrifice, and they will never know to what extent you've sacrificed. And now they've developed a dependency on your generosity.
Mm.
Now here it is, you give, you give, and you give, and you never give back. So then who gives to you? I said, and let me go back to the formula that was given to us in the beginning. God gave a commandment. He didn't tell them this was not negotiable. The Bible says, and God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and he said, and he commanded them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. He said, first, be fruitful. In other words, make enough for you. Okay? Then from your excess, he said, then multiply that. And from that excess of multiplication, replenish. You don't replenish from fruitfulness. You replenish from multiplication. And that goes back to loving your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love you, as you are fruitful to you, and fruitfulness talks about just what you produce. How you produce. You shall know the tree by the fruit, you know,
yeah.
How you produce. So the question becomes, what are you producing for yourself? Okay? And if you're not loving yourself and you're not watching yourself, you're not taking care of your temple, you're not doing the things that you need to do for you, then how do you even qualify to love anyone else?
Mm.
You know? As I began to share some of that with her, and this was just a few weeks ago, she contacted me yesterday. She said, Kermit, what you've been saying to me has been haunting me at night. And I started seeing every place in my life where I was giving the responsibility of feeling good to other people to make me feel good. And I started pulling back. And started doing. She said, so I bought myself something really nice for Christmas. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I said, you don't wait on somebody to buy you what you can get for yourself. I said, you know how many ugly ties I've gotten over the years that I could not wear with anything in my closet? I said, but here's the point. I went out and got them stuff that I needed for me. So whenever they gave me what they gave me, I wouldn't be offended. You know, and so, Sister Billy, I mean, you talking about has I've watched God make me a blessing to people, and I'm not talking about just believers, even unbelievers, people on the job who confide in me, managers, even bosses that are above me. Had a situation that broke out at work where a young lady was in a very abusive domestic violence issue, you know, ongoing. And one of my senior managers came to me. She said, Kermit, I need you. I said, what's going on? She said, I need you to talk to her. And I was like, why me? She said, you're the only person that can talk to her. And as I sat in the room and I just listened to this young lady, but then, you know, who we are as the vessels that God has made us began to just come up and out. My brother Lance had preached a message, and it just still blesses me. He said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, that it came up on David. And he said that the Spirit of the Lord will come up and then on you. And right in the middle of this conversation, I watched God pull up out of me and then set it on me as an anointing to start ministering to this girl, this woman in my office, in his conference room, to the point where my senior manager, who is not, you know, she's a Catholic, you know, still Christian, but Catholic. And by the time I finished ministering to this young lady, and I didn't get real religious with it, just pointed out some very obvious things. She sat there and she said, I knew it was you, the only person. And then she had tears in her eyes. She said, oh, my God. She said, I cannot believe you are this, you know, you are such a wonderful gift to this. And she went out of there and told the entire management team. And to tell you how much of a blessing it is, the position of my job has been eliminated since July.
Mm.
I am still there. I don't even know why I'm still there. But other colleagues of mine are no longer working. Their positions were eliminated and phased. I'm still there. I can't explain it. I can't, you know, other than the fact that something was sown somewhere that allows my presence to still be needed whenever it's needed. And so, therefore, I even had my manager, who works in a completely different office and has never physically met me, ask me, he said, everybody I talk to about you is completely impressed with you. He says, man, I can't wait till I get to Chicago so I can meet you. And I said, really? He said, no, man, everybody. And I said, really? He said, no, not just people that's in the company, but even some of our clients who've met you. You know, and I said, really? And you never really will know how many people talk to you and bless you, you know, and have something to say about you. And that's negative as well as positive. But to hear that it's coming back and resonating in a positive way is really just mind-blowing almost for me. I can honestly say right now that in my life, Evangelist Burns, I am enjoying my life like I never have. There's still so much uncertainty about what's going to happen next. All I know is that I'm taking one day at a time, and I'm loving God as I love myself. And the more that I love me and take care of me, I'm watching him make me more of a vessel for everybody else. And if I could leave anything with anybody else, I would say that the fight that you need, that the fight that you have on the inside of you, it is inside of you. The strength you need is already inside of you. A lot of times you have to stop listening to all the external voices so that you can hear the internal voice. Remember, it was Jesus who said, he said, if I don't go away, I can't send you the Comforter. And we all know that the Comforter was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given certain responsibilities to all of us. And that was to lead us and guide us into all truth and to bring all things back to our remembrance whatsoever he has told us. So it's an internal voice that has been speaking, that has been clouded, that has been shushed due to the external voices of pastors, of parents, of teachers, of the radio, the television evangelists, or whoever you've been listening to, CD, you know, whatever. Everybody else's interpretation of who God is, and God is saying, if you listen to what I'm trying to tell you, through you, you will know who I really am. And I really believe right now that's where we've got to get to. And there is a scripture I wanted to leave with you guys today that has really, truly revolutionized my life. And I've been sharing this as best I can, all over, whenever I get an opportunity. And it's actually in 1 John 2:27 that really kind of corroborates what I've been talking about. And I'm an old school King James Version I know a lot of people use the NIV now, but I'm old school King James, and it says 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. This scripture has revolutionized my life because it empowered me to stop the external voices from having so much say-so. And to begin to trust the internal voice that he had given me the whole time. And when I did that, my life changed. All the strength that I needed to overcome. I don't worry about committing sins and falling short and am I going to hell? And, oh, my God, I made a mistake. I don't deal with any of that anymore. I trust the conviction of this scripture. The internal voice, when it convicts me, I'm convicted. And what's crazy is, Evangelist Burns, is that how many times over our life did we want conviction before we did the thing? You know, well, we get real convicted afterwards. Oh, my God, I can't believe what I did. But when you get to this point where you begin to allow the Holy Spirit, this internal voice, to speak louder than the external voice, conviction comes before you do a thing. You could get ready to want to just go off on a person because they've done you wrong. And something says, before you speak, rethink what you're getting ready to say. Because whatever you say now, it's going to be released. And the words you speak are spirit and their life. And the power of life and death is in your tongue. So are you going to bless the person or are you going to curse them with what you get ready to say? That level of conviction comes in milliseconds when you get to this point of maturity. And I would say to anybody, that it's an anointing on the internal voice for you to become who you're really supposed to be. And you can't, this right here has, like I said, revolutionized my life. So I really do hope something I said today has blessed somebody.
It has blessed me. And I'm listening and I'm thinking about your dad, who is a very quiet man, but deep in the scriptures. And just an anointed man, doesn't have a lot to say, but when he speaks, it's powerful. And Bessie, the last child, and the legacy that she has left with her children, because she has, okay, I know you have to go because you have to do a funeral, but how many siblings do you have, and how many are working in the ministry, in the church? And
oh, wow. I have, it's 8 brothers and sisters. It's 8 of us all together, 4 boys,
yeah.
4 girls. My oldest brother is pastoring. I am an elder as well as minister music at 2 churches right now.
Okay.
Very busy. My sister is a traveling evangelist. She's all over everywhere. My sister in Georgia, a first lady, and assisting with her husband who's pastoring in Georgia. And then my other sister, my baby sister, is married to a preacher. My little brother Jeff is, no, my little brother Matthew is my drummer every Sunday morning at both churches. So he's heavily involved with the music department and everything. So, of course, the other brothers and sisters, wherever they attend, they are being a blessing to those churches and those ministries. So, yeah, it's a wonderful legacy. I've had more people say to me, I'm watching, like, my children. I have Lauren is into her own career. She finished cosmetology school, has a wonderful career. as a lead stylist and running the place, basically. Has her own place now, her own car. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do. But my other two boys, I'm so proud of them. They both graduated last year with their undergraduate degrees. It was crazy because we, 1 week, we were in Pittsburgh graduating Kendall. And then the very next weekend, we were in Alabama graduating Kyle. So with their undergraduate degrees. And I'm so proud of these two young men because they are both now in graduate school, one here in Chicago, one in Roosevelt University, and also at Columbia. And they are doing awesome. Just got their grades for this last semester, and everybody's doing well. So it's 3.0 and up. So it's just wonderful to see how God is blessing them, not just to be, accomplished, academicians, but more so that, watching them grow as young men. And people ask me, Kern, what is your secret, man? Look at how well your kids are doing. And I said, man, I wish I could tell you that there was some formula or some secret. I said, the only thing I can tell you is that I remember their grandmother praying. And I remember their great-grandmother praying on both sides of the family. And I really just believe with the prayers that I've been praying and the responsibility I have been given to try and be a great example in front of them, sometimes good, sometimes bad, because we're all learning and growing, that God is still answering those prayers. And I said, if there's a secret at all, I said, I would just say, pray over your children. And be the best example in front of them that you can be. Show them what a good man and a good woman is so that they identify with that. And no matter what they see out in the streets, when they come home, they see that this is different at home, and I like this. This makes sense to me. This feels right. And they will take that same thing and put it in their houses when they move out into their own places one day and hopefully share that same experience with their children. So, man, I miss the Burns family. I miss you guys so much.
We miss everyone there. We don't miss the weather, but we
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's been tough here. We've been snowed in, and me and Kyle was out moving snow, and then we came back home after a little bit of a stint and had to move some more. So it's been a challenge, but, it stopped. It finally has stopped. So now it's just below zero.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's below zero.
I bless you. Yeah, well, like I said, we miss everyone. We don't miss the weather. And Bishop doesn't ask us because it will be 15 years this year in June that we've been gone. And when I first used to come home, Bishop would say, well, daughter, you think you'll ever move back to Chicago? And immediately I would say, no, sir, I don't think that we will be moving. Unless the Lord tells us to move back to Chicago, we won't be moving back.
Yeah, it's got to be a great work here waiting on you, hon, in order for you to come back.
or the Lord says move back. I mean,
right.
Amen, amen.
Right, I have need of thee, so.
Yes, in Chicago. Wait a minute, here's the police. Let it be dry in the ground.
Right, exactly. Go give them the Gideon prayer. I need the police to be wet and the ground to be dry.
Yes. I'm going to be sure enough that it's the Lord saying, we got to come back. Baby, the Lord said for us to come. Are you sure, honey? Are you sure? Because I need him to say that to
right.
me, too. No. So,
well, let me just add one other last thing before I go, because I do have to get out of here. But listen, I just want to say I am so encouraged to see you and Elder Burns, Albert Burns, still going on and still moving on. even though we're not around each other all the time. It's just a blessing to know that you guys are still, as they say, on the wall.
Yeah.
and still taking ministry to the next level. So God bless you guys, and I just want to say that also on behalf of Via and my wife, Michelle, she has really been a blessing to me in my life. And so I would say to anybody, just seek God. Go inward. Stop going outward. Go inward. Find him, because he's there. He's there waiting on you to get to him. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's always been there.
Yeah.
So just journey inward. Trust that. Trust what you hear. You know, forget all the external voices that talks about how unworthy you are. You already know that stuff. Now, the question is, who are you then? Who are you really? And he will lead you and guide you into that truth. And it's going to change your life. It's going to change how you eat, because he's going to start working on that. He's going to change your body. He's going to change your everything about who you are. And the more he talks to you, the more that journey starts, and you will see your whole life change. So I would say to you, Evangelist Billy and Al and the kids, I love you guys to life. I, of course, met you the best. May God's choice blessings be with you and your family in 2014 and on moving forward, that you have great health and true peace. And not just that he, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, so that you would live your life fully and love wastefully, love harder than you ever had before. Because you know what? Tomorrow ain't promised. You know, and to have regrets because I held back when I didn't really even need to. No more holding back on love. I'm giving love away wastefully, like I'm a billionaire, trillionaire. So God bless you all.
You have always been like that, Carmen. And Mark and I were talking the other day about your mom. And Mark remembers a time when he was telling me about, well, I knew about it, but he was cutting up in children's church. And Desi got a hold to him. And, you know, he remembers that, he said, but he straightened up after that. She didn't have to, she didn't have to come that hard on him. It was a lesson that was learned, and I see, you know, as you were talking about, and I know you have to go, but as you were talking about, you know, you opening up your home, and that's something that your mom did weekly.
Oh, yeah.
Weekly. And bless the food, and the Lord would increase it so that the multitude of people that came over were able to eat and eat good.
Everybody ate.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm working on leaving as we're speaking, but I just wanted to say, definitely let Mark know that Deborah knows how to make the macaroni and cheese, just like my mom, and that we had two whole troughs of it for the holidays, and what was amazing last year, Ron Miller came by. He was in town. He came by last Christmas Eve, and he came in, and the first thing he asked for was the macaroni and cheese. So it was, but I remember my mom saying, she said, Carmen, I've watched the miracle of the loaves and the fish happen every week in this house.
Yes.
And I can honestly say I watched her put the same amount of food on every week, and she never knew how many people was coming. She never knew, you know, how many young people was going to be over with her own 8 kids. She never knew any of that. And, you know, our extended family and everybody else that wanted to come by, she just put the same amount of food on every Sunday. And when we got home, everybody had a plate and everybody ate before we went back to service that afternoon. To this day, I don't know how it happened. But it just goes to show you the faithfulness, yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Actually, Mark is on the line, and I want to say to everybody, Elder Kermit is getting ready to get off, but please do not hang up. If you want to, he can go back into the archives and listen to maybe the questions that you have or maybe the admonishments or maybe, you know, just to encourage him or just to tell him how much he inspired you. So please stay on the line so that we can record that so that he can go back and listen to it. And God bless you, Kermit, and thank you so much for giving that testimony of such a tragic happening in your family, but look where it has brought you and his mom,
that's right.
Michelle, yes, it's
right.
Been an awesome thing to see, you know, how you can lose. I often look and I pray, you know, as a mother, you pray for your children and you worry about them. And I just can't even imagine. I went through something with Chris last year, and I was just thanking the Lord this morning, and how he brought us through that situation, but how, you know, through the situation, I was like, I don't know how I would go through it. You life goes on after death, but you can't see that you can go through it. Now look how the Lord has brought you to a place where you're helping people, even through the tragedy of losing your own, your oldest son, your namesake, how God has brought you still to the place where even the world is acknowledging the God that's in you. So I just want to thank you for, you know, coming on and giving that testimony. It's mind-boggling, you know, the things that God has done for us and is doing for us. And to know that what you were saying, I am the righteousness of God. So I got to forget about, you know, the things that I've done and the things that, you know, people try to put on me. I was just, and I know you have to go, so if you need to go, I'm still talking. You can go ahead. I was talking to my sister-in-law, actually, and she was saying about God, you know, she had to be careful because God was going to punish her for something that she said. I said, no, that's not the God that we serve. We don't serve a God that's standing over us with a big stick or, okay, she did this wrong, she did this wrong. He sees us through his son. We are the righteousness of God. In Christ.
Yes.
So,
because all he sees is, you know, let me say this real quick. I read this in a book. It was so profound until it blew me away. And this was what it said. He was closing the book out, and he said this. He said that the only person that qualifies to get into heaven is Jesus. No one else will qualify. So if you're trying to get into heaven, you can forget it.
Yes.
Then he says that the wonderful thing that he does, he takes you and he puts you in him.
Yes.
So that when he goes in, you go in. When I saw that, I said, wow. So outside of him, you don't qualify. And no matter what you do, no matter what deed you have, no matter how good you think you can be, your righteousness,
yes,
the Bible talks about, is this your feedback? Okay. So here's the whole point. So don't even worry about it. If you're in Christ, because he's the only one that qualifies to get in,
yes,
then you're in. So here's the thing. It's not based on my performance at all anymore.
At all.
It's based on you
not
being in
work.
Him.
By
there
work,
you go.
Let any man boast.
Exactly. Because you'd be able to brag about it. Well, I did this, and I know you ain't,
yes,
did nothing.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I would say definitely the righteousness of God, all that stuff you talk, wonderful. I completely concur. Yes. Listen, you guys, I'm going. Tell him, when is Mark? Is he still on the line or no?
Here he is. He told me not to put him on, but Mark.
What's up, Kern?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing blessed, man. I'm wonderful. I just wanted to say, man, to you and your brothers and everybody, man, just pass my love on to them and let them know that I love you guys, man, and I wanted you to hear it from me. And I'm glad to hear all the great things I've been hearing about you all. So, man, stay encouraged, man. Keep moving forward. Know that you are the righteous of God, man, and that anytime you guys need me, pick up the phone and call me, and I'll be there. I'll do what I can, okay?
All right, bro.
All right. You all be blessed. I'll talk to you later.
Amen, amen. God bless you. Okay, we
Thank
are going to open up the line. That was such an awesome, awesome testimony, and I just wanted to give the listeners, the callers, a chance to say something. If you don't want to say anything, don't hang up. Just hang on. We were taught not to leave the service before the benediction because you don't know what God is going to do at the end. So just stay on. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to say anything, just hang on. Amen, amen, amen. So we're going to go to the area code is 217, and the last four are 9452. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. May I have your name?
Praise the Lord. This is Melody. I am fine. I am fine. I've been working. The Lord is good. Praise the Lord. So that's why I haven't been on Saturday mornings. I got a new job back in September, so it's you know, been kind of busy. But I just wanted to say that the Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
Kermit is a part of my family.
So that was
one of the reasons why I made sure I got on this morning. You know, I'm related to the Linton family. It's been a year ago since I was forced out of my home in Chicago and, you know, had to move somewhere else. I'm not complaining because the Lord has been really, really good. He's been blessing. You know, maybe the move was for the good. I believe it was. And so I'm just grateful this morning, and that's all I have to say.
Amen, amen. Well, like the scripture that Kermit quoted, all things work together for the good of them who love God and who
are
called.
Yes.
Thank you for calling in, Melanie, and you have a blessed day.
Okay, I will.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller, I'm going to leave my brother, Prophet Michael Lewis. I'm going to leave you for last, Prophet Lewis, so please don't hang up, okay? The next caller is, the area code is 910, and the last four, 678, caller.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Who's calling, please?
Good morning. This is Prophet Darlene Davis.
Prophet Davis.
Good morning. God bless y'all.
Bless you. Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to you.
I'm on a new phone.
Oh, okay. This is a new number for you?
No. I'm still using the old number, but this is, you may not recognize this number. This is a new number. I just thank God for the words I heard. They were words of encouragement on this morning. Thank God for the brother. When he began to talk, I said, prayers change things. And I began to hear how the prayers of his mother was reflecting on him, and still prayers are still going on. Even after people leave this earth, a lot of times their prayers of their mother, their grandmother, and different ones, it's important to pray, and it's important to stay in prayer. And so I just thank God for the words that he was given, and I could hear the love of his mother through him. And so I thank God for him on this morning, because a lot of times you get to learn a lot about, you know, people's mothers and fathers through the person. And so I thank God, and I know that his family is very proud of him. He has changed a lot of people's lives. Even on this morning, he has encouraged me. He has strengthened me. You know, the Lord had told me to wake up and get on the line. And I went back to sleep, and I heard get up. And so I just thank God that I was obedient and got on the line, because my spirit has been lifted on today. And even as he began to talk about love and love of your neighbor and so many points, I'm not going to go through all the points, but it was just an encouragement to me. And I know that your viewers, your callers were encouraged this morning. And I just want to say to him to continue to do what God has called him to do, because he is making a difference in the world. He is making a difference in people's life, and he has changed some things. Even on this morning. So I just thank God for you and your husband. I thank God for this broadcast. I just thank God this morning. And I thank God because this is a new year. This is a new season. And I'm just saying to everyone, get ready for what God has for them. And God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Love you. Stay encouraged.
Amen. Thank you for calling in. And I'm going to give you a call probably a little later today. Are you going to be available?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you a call then. And you have a blessed day.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you. The next caller is 747 and the last four, 9615. Caller, are you there?
Hi, good morning. Praise God. This is Kimmy. I'm calling from California. And I just want to say praise God and thank God for the word this morning. I got up and couldn't sleep, and I remember Sister Bernard mentioning something about service on Saturday morning. So I was happy to be able to join in and hear this morning. So just thank you.
Amen. And what was your name again?
It's Kimmy Lee, California.
Okay. Thank you for calling in, and I hope that you were blessed by the words that
yes, I was.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You have a great day.
You too.
Our next caller is area code 919-8515. Caller.
Yes, I'm here. I was just listening. It's my first time on your show here. My name is Chris, and I'm from Durham, North Carolina. I'm on this morning. I've been on seeking prayers and things. I've experienced some difficulty, and I'm continuing to try to trust God in my situation and relationship. Someone I found I want to marry, but yet the enemy is consistent with his attacks, and I really want to trust God. It's grown to a situation now of somewhat of a, what I think would be a repairable condition, but I'm really seeking and trusting and believing in God, because how we met was not one that was just was not one of coincidence, and the situation at hand was one that we both agreed and we both shared that, you know, this could be something life changing. However, the enemy has been attacking, and I just want to thank God for what he's done thus far, and continue to ask for the prayers for Chris and Alicia for the mending and the finality of the vision of matrimony, and I'm trusting God for the love that I have to cover her in this transition.
Well, let me ask you this: Are you two in Christ? Have you surrendered your life to Christ?
Yes.
You have. Okay, I'm going to bring Prophet Michael on. I know I'm putting him on the spot, but my husband is gone, so I like for the men to talk to the men. Are you there, Prophet Lewis? Okay, maybe I don't have. 219, is this 219, is the area code 8735, is the last four?
This is Evangelist Benoit.
Oh, this is... I'm sorry. He must have hung up the phone. I'm sorry. Evangelist Bernard, our overall host, New Destiny Ministries, so glad that you joined us this morning. Did you hear the young man? Did you hear the young man that was right before you?
Yes, but I didn't quite understand what was going on there.
Okay, are you there? Are you still there, Chris?
Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He has a situation. He's requesting prayer for he and someone that, Alicia, that they want to get married in, but they're facing obstacles. So do you have any words of encouragement? He said that they are in Christ.
So he's engaged. Is that it?
Chris?
Are we engaged? We're dating, not yet engaged.
Okay. So there has not been a commitment made.
Well, there was a commitment. Like I said, the enemy has been attacking. When I advance, when I try to advance situations in the home or advance situations to make the actual life, self-sufficiency in life and things better, the enemy rolls back with an attack through her without understanding. And it's somewhat difficult to understand why that continues to happen when the goal has been, we're building to build a family.
Okay. Now, are you all living together?
No.
Yes.
No, we're not.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, Lord God, what's your name again?
My name is Chris. Mm-hmm.
And the lady you're dating?
Uh-huh.
Alicia.
Okay. Okay. So you're asking for God to bring unity back into the relationship?
Yeah. Through specifically without compromise, through love. So in agreement through Christ is what I'm saying.
What is
you
the
don't
pastor
mind.
Saying? Chris, what is your pastor? Do you guys attend the same church or?
Actually, we're seeking. My pastor, she passed away. Her name was Dorothy Fortune. But she passed away, so I've been in transition since then. I have sought, I do have friends that are evangelists and things that I stay in constant contact with and for prayer and things. But as far as a pastor, no, we don't have a church. We visit, but we're not members at the church that we visit.
Okay. Evangelist Bernard, you
going to
say something?
Yes. Well, I'll pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, you have heard the petition. You have heard the request of Brother Chris. Lord God, we ask you to lead and guide him into all truth and all righteousness, Lord God. Lord God, and even in the relationship, Lord God, you said to seek you in all manners, God. You are the head of our lives. Lord God, if we would seek you with our whole heart, you would give us and you would lead us into that which you are called, that which you have already set aside. Lord God, our first priority, Chris's first priority is you. Amen. And that's what I'm feeling in my spirit right now, God, that even in what he has stated to us this morning, Lord God, you know all about him. You know Alicia. You know Chris. You know the situation. Some things we don't disclose, and that's not for us to disclose. Amen. But he's asking you, Lord God, to repair. He's asking you to bring back the unity. Lord God, you say it in your word that marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled. Amen, Lord. And at some point, God, I bless you this morning. At some point, Lord God, we have to get into the right standing with you. And when we get into the right standing with you, God, you said you would withhold no good thing from us. You told us to commit our way unto you. And, Lord God, I'm asking Chris and Alicia, hallelujah, to seek you with their whole heart. I just keep hearing the Lord say, seek him, excuse me, with your whole heart. And that's the priority. That is the focus. The focus has to be God, and that's from your standpoint and even Alicia. Hallelujah. And even in the decisions that he had to make regarding his faith, God, regarding his commitment, God, regarding a church home, God, you know everything there is to know. Lord God, we're asking you to intervene. In the name of Jesus, we're asking you to intervene. And if it be thy will, God, hallelujah, you would bring everything into its rightful place. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm asking you to lead and guide him. Ah, God, in the name of Jesus, you say for us not to be anxious for anything. You say for us to watch as well as pray, Lord God. I'm asking you to continue to anoint him, to seek you wholeheartedly, God, like never before. And even in the midst of what he's going through, God, give him peace. Ah, give him peace, God, and let him make the right decision, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.
Ah, God, I bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Chris.
Thank
and I don't remember when you came on, but did you get a chance to hear the testimony of Elder Kermit Lashman?
I missed that testimony. I came in a little bit late for that, but I caught the ending part of your conversation, but I didn't get the testimony.
Okay. Well, you can go into the archives, and this is for all of our listeners. You can go into the archives and listen to the broadcast. I think if you would do that, Chris, you would be very encouraged. And I think that there you might even get your answer as to how to handle the situation. You go to New Destiny Ministries. How did you know? How did you hear about us?
I've been on Blog Talk for a little while, so I just basically go sit and watch and listen.
Okay, okay. Well, then do you know how to get to the archives
uh-huh.
and listen to? Okay, go to New Destiny Ministries, Evangelist Adrian Bernard. And then go to They Overcame and Today's Date, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast. I'm sure you'll be inspired and get an answer as to how you should seek this. He talked about listening to God for yourself and not listening to the voices of others. That may be an issue that you're having. So just listen to the archives, and you will be blessed. Amen.
All right. Amen.
Okay. God bless you, and you have a blessed day. Evangelist Adrian, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So glad that you joined us. This is the overall host of New Destiny Ministries, whose umbrella They Overcame is under, and she broadcasts every day, a faithful woman of God, 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, or 4 o'clock Eastern time at this same number, 858-683-1334. And she has an awesome, awesome ministry, and you can listen to her every day. And around, she has had several speakers from the Chicagoland area where the last minister is from, and I'm going to pass her his number on to you, Evangelist. You might want to broaden your Chicagoland preachers that you have on your air, your broadcast.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. I'm so proud of Kermit. He's a young man that I watched grow up in the church, and just so proud of what God is doing in his life and using him. The whole family just are blessed. I remember his mom, his dad. Well, I remember his mom. His dad is still with us. Lancer DeLashman, Deacon Lancer DeLashman, awesome man of God in his own right. And so do you
beautiful
have
testimony.
Any? It was a beautiful
I just enjoyed the testimony, and I certainly can identify with his loss of his son being also one that have had a child murdered, so I can identify with what he spoke on this morning, but I also can certainly identify with the scripture that says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in the midst of tragedy. The questions are there even when there's not a tragedy, when we just in our own world and not knowing which way to turn and what decision to make, you question God. But I can encourage those that have listened this morning that God said he would not withhold any good thing from us, and he knows the end from the beginning because there's nothing hidden from God. God knows when we're born, and he also knows the exact date and time that all of us will leave here. But please know that those that die in Christ Jesus, they will live again. So I was very encouraged by that testimony. And again, as I said, I cannot identify wholly with his experience in the loss of a child. But I certainly know that if you stay connected and you stay in God's will, amen, that he will certainly strengthen you and he will certainly provide that which you need in the area of comfort where you can be a support and you can be a leaning post for others that go through that experience, and you can tell them how to stay strong and remain in Christ. And that's the whole thing. When you have Jesus in your life, you have something that you can lean on. And it's a terrible thing to have that kind of loss and you don't know Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
You will certainly lose your mind. You will certainly lose your focus and your grip on life. But if you have that strong support, and that means the arm of Jesus, because guess what? People are here and they mean well. But no one, after everything settles, when everyone is gone, you know, you still have to deal with the situation, and it's something that never leaves you. It's, you know, if you've never experienced the loss of a child, it's something that you the experience lives with you forever, forever. So I'm just blessed to, I was moved to get up. Well, I'm always up anyway early. So I was moved to get on the line and just come and fellowship with you all today, and I'm glad that I did that. So I was encouraged by that word. So be blessed. We love you with the love of God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Evangelist, for joining us. She's out in California, and it's way early out there.
And thank God for Sister Cammy being on the line. She lives in California, Prophetess Darlene,
yeah.
And all of those that's on the line with you this morning. We thank them for making the sacrifice to come on and fellowship and listen to the testimony this morning. So God bless you and Elder Burns. Good to hear Mark on the line. God bless you, Brother Mark.
Amen, amen, amen. He's here visiting us, so he was able to get on the line this morning. He's usually at the shop cutting hair by now. He's a barber by profession. So he's usually at the shop when we're on the broadcast. But I thank God that he was able to. He's recovering from a surgery, so he was able to get on. And I just thank all of our listeners for coming on. This is our first service.
Saturday.
For the new year and starting off with an awesome testimony. But I just want to admonish everyone, call in with your testimonies. People need to hear that the saving grace of God. They need to hear that God still moves in the midst of things that's happening to you. It's an encouragement and inspiration to people to hear what God is still doing in the land, here in the land, and he's still moving. He's still doing, he's still blessing. You know, he's still bringing us out of things. And we just want to admonish you all to call in with your testimonies. If you know someone that has a testimony, I say no testimony is too small. No testimony is too big to, you know, broadcast on this. And that's what we're here for. Of course, our scripture is out of Revelation, the 11th chapter, where it says, "And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony." So we're overcomers because of what we hear. So give us your strength. Empty out your praise coffers so that God can fill them up. Amen. So Evangelist.
Amen. Minister Billy.
Yes.
Would you allow Prophetess Darlene, and she's still on the line, she has a prayer line on Tuesdays and Saturday evening at 5 o'clock your time. Would you allow her to get that information to your listeners?
Absolutely, absolutely. Prophetess, are you there?
Yes. Praise the Lord. Good morning. God bless you, Pastor Bernard. I just thank God for you. I love you. And I thank God for how you're pushing me and encouraging me. It's been a blessing to be on the broadcast. I'll tell you, I don't know what it is. I get up every morning early, but on Saturday morning, it seems like I keep on sleeping. But I thank God this morning I got up. It was a blessing. You know, I say every morning I get up early. What is going on? But I know what that's about, and I'm going to make a purpose once in a while to get up early. So I just thank God for this morning that I got up early, and I love you all. And my number is 712-432-1500, and the code is 211-498. And I come on Tuesday at 8 p.m. and Saturdays at 8 p.m. And Saturday nights is overflow, where God meets us. It is a prayer line, but God moves in several ways. I just let God have his way. In the East Coast, California time, it would be 5 p.m. In Texas, it would be 5 p.m. But if you're in Chicago, New York, in North Carolina, it's 8 p.m. on Tuesday night and Saturday night at 8 p.m. God bless you. And also you can go on the Facebook at Prophet Darlene Davis. Thank you. God bless.
Amen. And at 7 o'clock Central Time on
Central Time, right.
Yeah, Central Time, because we're Eastern Time. So
I'm
amen.
Trying to get all that together because I'm used to one time, one location. So God is moving me to greater things. So I'm trying to get all that. This
greater.
Is all new. To God be the glory.
Amen, amen. I can attest to Evangelist Bernard pushing you. She sees something in you. She has that ministry of push. So say praise God. Praise God for you. Well, since I usually my husband calls us to prayer, but he is not here. He had to leave this morning. So I'm going to ask Prophetess Davis if she would end us in prayer.
Amen. Would you also, Billy, I want Prophetess Davis to pray for my granddaughter, Rayel, and Nell Deja. I'm here in Fresno now, been here since Thursday, really, and they're here to attend college, so I want her to pray a special blessing for them. I'll be here until Tuesday, and I have to get out of here, so pray a special blessing on these girls as they're here out living on their own now, trying to just do what the Lord has given them to do as far as their education and their living arrangements here in Fresno. They don't have a car right now, so just pray that God would cover them.
Amen. Amen. Prophetess? Praise the Lord. You do have the other number, right? The 252 number? Because you said you were going to call me later on. Minister?
Do you have that number? That you called in this line. That's the number that I have.
Okay.
6786.
Okay, I would have to give you the other number.
Okay, you can. I don't want you to give it to me.
I'll text it to you, Billy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, because this is a minute form. I was just trying to burn up my minutes. They were free minutes given to me. And so I was trying to burn them up, and I knew if I called on the line today, it would burn them out. And it's not quite there yet. So I didn't want to, I didn't know how many minutes. I know I had I got 253 minutes. So I was like, okay, let me try to burn these minutes out.
Okay.
So I thank God. So let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for this broadcast, God. We thank you for the overseer, God. We thank you, God, for what you did this morning, God. We thank you for what you're going to do, God. We thank you, God, for a new year, God. We thank you for a new season, God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, God. We thank you for waking us up in our right mind, God. We thank you for your blood covering, God. We thank you for another day, God. We thank you, God, that we didn't hear any bad news through the night, God. We thank you, God, for the man of God that brought forth the testimonies on today, God. Oh, God, we thank you, God, for the trials and the tribulations, God. Oh, God, we know it's to make us stronger in you, God. We thank you, God. We may not have thanked you at the time, but we thank you now, God. Even now, God, we thank you for this broadcast, God. We thank you for Elder Burns and Minister Burns, God. We thank you, God, for their testimonies, God, and their love, God. For the people, God, we thank you, God. We thank you for their family members, God. We thank you even as we heard their son, God, because somebody's son is not here today, God. But we thank you, God, that you're keeping this family, God, not just keeping them, but you're keeping them in your will, God. We thank you, God, for your love and your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you, God, for the gift of the Spirit, God. We thank you for each and every call of God. And each and every caller to come, God. We thank you for the souls that's coming on this broadcast. We thank you for the souls that's coming on the broadcast during the week. We thank you for every soul that's already on, God. We thank you, God, for a change and a shifting that's going to take place. We thank you for the miracles, my God, that you're going to do on each broadcast. We thank you for more broadcasts being birthed, God, through these broadcasts. We thank you for these women of God, their sacrifice. We thank you for Pastor Bernard, God, this morning, God. We ask right now, God, that you forgive us for every sin, God. Oh,
yes.
God, we ask right now that you could keep our hands and our heart and our mind clean, God. In the name of Jesus, we're calling on you, Jesus. Oh, God, you heard the man request, God. Oh, God, we know, God, that you're about marriages, God. But we know that you don't want nobody to marry anybody that you did not have ordained, God. So I'm asking, God, that you speak to him directly, God. Oh, God, we thank you for the woman of God giving them encouraging words, God, praying for them, God. Oh, God, but I'm asking that you continue to deal with them, God. Oh, God, it is not your will, let it not take place, God. But it is your will, you bring it forth, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, but I'm asking that you stir them up, God. Oh, God, he's not on this line by chance or accident. Oh, God, we ask you today, God, that you continue to move, God. We thank you for what you have done, God. I ask that you catch Pastor Bernard's grandchildren, God. Oh, God, while they're up there in the college, God. Catch them, God, right now, God. Catch by you, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let it even fill it through the phone, God. Breathe on us, God, in the name of Jesus. Let no weapon formed against us prosper, God. To all our grandchildren, God. God, God, the prayers that she has rendered, we know that you hear them, God. Oh, God, we ask them for a blood covering, God, on those grandchildren, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you continue to touch her sister, God. Just in prison, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the release, God. We believe in and receive it, God. You said two or more touching the agreeing in your name. Well, we agree in God, it is done in the name of Jesus. We ask him right now, God, that you touch the Burns family. We ask him, God, the things that's not right, fix it, God. And the things that's right, keep it right, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless their hands, God. We ask that you anoint them fresh even now, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you look down upon the sick and the shedding on today, God. Have your way, God. Heal, God. Somebody need a word from you today, God. Oh, God, somebody need encouragement today, God. We ask that you touch, move, and strengthen, God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you the praise today. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory on today, God. We ask that you touch the bereaved families everywhere, God. Oh, God, somebody today think they can't make it, but you know that they can make it through you, God. They can do all things through Christ that strengthens them. Give them that strength today, God, strength to go on in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, God. We praise you, God. We are grateful this morning, God. We are thankful this morning, God. We love you this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Prophetess Jesus, for that prayer.
Thank you.
I just want to invite you all to listen in every day to New Destiny Ministries, 1 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, at this same number, 858-683-1334. And then again, every Saturday at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, They Overcame, with testimonies of what God is doing in the lives of these people. We thank you for joining our broadcast, and we give God the praise and the glory, and the Lord knows we just want to praise him. Amen.
I just want to praise you.
Forever, come on.
Forever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
Jesus.